Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Hallelujah. Thanks, ladies. Cool stuff. So, I wasn't gonna preach this evening, so this is a bonus for me to be able to share. I asked my children what they think I should preach about. Obviously, I know what I'm gonna preach about because we were working through a bit of a theme, but it was quite interesting to hear what they had to say. So Abigail said, "Jesus." She reckons that's a good place to start. So she said I should speak about Jesus. So I said, amen. Yeah, just, I'm with you on that one. David, he just turned 4. He said, he spoke Afrikaans, so I'll translate for you. He said, lees jou Bible en bid elke dag. Want het gee jou krag. That's what he, then I said, yes, you guys must come and share the word sometime. This is good stuff. So he said, basically, read the Bible and pray every day because that's where you get power. Amen. So, and then he added as a footnote, he said, and drink water every day. So, I don't know why. Maybe it was because he was sitting in the car and it was really hot, and I think he was thirsty. But he just said, no, water is good for you. You should drink water every day. Okay, guys. So there you go. I'm just going to pray as we close this evening. Anyways, let's pray for the word. Father, we thank you that we can spend this time in your word, and we just consecrate this time to you. We thank you for your presence, and we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you direct us, that you lead us into all truth, God. And we open our hearts, Lord, and we say, Lord, above all else, we want to know you, and we want to be like you, Lord. And we want to be transformed and renewed and bring glory to your name this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So you'll see I'm using Pastor Philip's PowerPoint. He's not feeling really well. He was ministering this morning and he got one of those hectic migraines. So you can walk. Please pray for him. And if I get one, I'll let you know, and then you guys can pray for me as well. So we've been taking some time the last couple of weeks to look at the whole concept of community. We looked at God's command to us in John chapter 13, and we've been looking at it from a whole bunch of different angles. Who joined us for the relationship week, last week, Sunday? Was it cool? Yeah, Richard has got an awesome testimony. And if you missed out on that, please get the recording online. Is there anybody that was here for the first time last Sunday and has joined us again the relationship week? We just realized, you know, we got the timing a bit wrong with the marriage prep cycle that we just did. I realized we should do it after the relationship week. Don't you think? Not funny. Okay. Okay. So yeah, so don't worry, we'll fix that next year. We'll get our timing right. Let's read from John chapter 13, 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And Jesus says, I'm giving you a new commandment. Now, whereas the law of Moses, something that the guys of the day that he was talking to would be very familiar with, and then a whole bunch of other laws that came in, laws about how to live and how to go about things, practical day-to-day stuff. And then Jesus says, I want to give you a new commandment. And then when he starts, I think they must have said, but this is not new, that you love one another. But then he adds the new component. He says, as I have loved you, love one another. So it takes it into a whole new dynamic there in terms of us loving as Christ loved, loving in the same way that he laid down his life, that he loved and loves us self-sacrificially. And this evening we're looking specifically at shared lives is the title. And I was thinking, should I do a Prezi, you know, and should I, because the one Prezi template is, it's a social network. It's all these footers, you know, links and stuff. And you know, these days, if you think about sharing something, people often think about social media. Liking and sharing has just got a whole new meaning these days, right? Even following somebody. Oh, you can follow somebody that you've never seen before or never met in person. You can follow them. and I just wanted to thought, I just want to just spend 2 minutes there, that social media has become such a part of a lot of our lives, whether it's Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or LinkedIn, and what else is there, a whole bunch of stuff that I don't know about. But we share stuff and we interact and we see things and we get news, and there's a whole new dynamic that's happening that wasn't there a couple of years ago. And I don't want to spend a whole sermon on this, but I just want to encourage us that it's easy to lose authenticity in our relationships. If we spend so much time on social media that we don't invest into real relationship, into face-to-face relationship. I'm not saying it's all bad. So when you go on Facebook, check what's going on the church page, right? And check the birthdays, right? That's important. But so I just want to say these two things. Firstly, if the time you're spending on social media is more than the time you're spending in the Word, or if you feel that the Word and the Scripture that you see on social media is sufficient for you to grow, I want to challenge you that if the stuff that you are spending more time with is going to be what sets the tone in you and my life. Okay? It's not rocket science, guys. It's just how it is. The people or the things that I spend most time with are going to have the most influence on my life. I'm just going to throw that out there. You can do with that whatever you like. Secondly, I just want to really encourage us to trust God for wisdom to invest time in relationships face-to-face. Get into each other's space. Okay. So that's partly what we're talking about this evening. And another thing in terms of ministry and in terms of amazing content, stuff, great blessings that we see on Facebook, encouragement, testimonies, people putting sermon clips there and stuff like that. I haven't had any of my clips on there, really. I don't know why. I don't know what's happening. I must just work on that. I was quoted once. I was like, yes, amazing, hallelujah. Any case, no, but the challenge with spending, I'm not saying a little bit here and there is a problem, but the challenge with this tendency that people feel they don't have to go to a church or belong to a church because they can do church on the internet or YouTube or stream or, and I'm not talking about if you're living in Afghanistan and there's no church and you're streaming, that's great, please do that, but there's a whole thing of, I want to be in my little comfort space and I want to pick the stuff that I want to listen to, and I want to be blessed by this guy. This guy is really speaking about stuff that really blesses me, so I'm going to listen to all his stuff. That's great, but the dynamic of community and transparency and relationship is lacking. And I want to really encourage you. That's partly what I remember of my early days as a Christian, is the power of receiving impartation from somebody that I can spend time with, somebody that I can look into his or her life and see the fruit of what God is doing in their life. Because God says we will judge by the fruit. Amen. So I'll just drop that with you. That's just for free. It's not part of the sermon. But so we're looking at this new commandment, and we've also been looking at Acts chapter 2 from 42. I'll just read it again for us briefly. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to sharing in meals, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles formed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money for those in need. They worshipped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. In each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. So we've been looking at this from a bunch of different angles, and if you've missed some of the messages, please go and download them. It's been really encouraging. And if we specifically, if you think around discipleship, there's a whole bunch of different angles. If you're talking about us becoming like Christ and us following Christ, not just on Facebook, but in how we live, there's a whole bunch of different things that come to mind, you know, the disciplines around being a follower of Christ. And you know, we think about sanctification, we think about holiness and just worship, we think about discipline in the Word, we think about discipline in serving. But when one digs into the whole concept of being a disciple, there's a few practical things that come into play. Firstly, being a disciple means I'm following Christ, but in the context of the church, it most of the time means I'm following someone else as they follow Christ. As Paul writes, he says, follow me as I follow Christ. So that is, you agree, that's a big part of discipleship, is we have amazing people that God puts around us that we can imitate and we can follow and we can learn from. But at the same time, there's an element of, as I follow Paul, as he follows Christ, there's somebody probably that's following me as well. Or I'm going to be deliberate about that. So that's a big part of it. And so can you see that this cannot happen in isolation? I cannot be in isolation somewhere and really see myself as a disciple. Because who am I following? Who am I receiving from? Who am I walking a road with? Who am I imparting to? This kind of thing cannot happen in isolation, right? So discipleship is very much something that happens in the context of community. And if we look at Scripture, it's very clear. Even from the Old Testament through to the New Testament, there's a community, there's a powerful dynamic of God speaking to the group. And if we look at a whole bunch of the things that the apostles and the writings of the apostles, the epistles address, it's a lot of it's got to do with interaction between communities and believers, and this is how you should love one another, and this is how you should do things. Very clearly the context of community. So this is not a strange thing, and this is something I believe God has designed. And it's, I believe there's a massive blessing for us as we realize that our serving Christ and our growing in our revelation of Christ happens in the context of a group, and a body, family of believers. Amen. So as Scripture teaches us about Christ, and this is often, I encourage new believers or anybody that wants to grow in their revelation of Christ to read the Gospels and to pray before and say, Holy Spirit, I want to know Jesus. I want to see who He is. Because when we read the Gospels and the Holy Spirit breathes on us, then we get a revelation of Christ. Amen. I actually heard this great testimony again this week of somebody that was a man of Jewish faith, and he spoke to a Christian and asked them about how can he get ready to meet God, and they encouraged him to read certain parts of the Old Testament because he knew obviously he would be happy with reading the Old Testament. And then a couple of weeks later he spoke to him again. And he said, listen, my neighbor gave me a New Testament. And I'm reading the New Testament. And then a bunch of weeks later, he came to him and said, I've been reading the New Testament and I've become a Christian. Because as I read
I saw who Jesus was. Got a revelation of Christ. And his life was transformed. So we learn about Christ. Scripture teaches about Christ. But it's so powerfully in the context of a relationship with others. Okay, so that's why we've been pulling this thing apart and we've been wrestling with it a bit. So at the core of discipleship, we have this community and this togetherness that we see in Scripture. Okay, let's have a look at 1 John chapter 1, from verse 1. This is the New Living Translation. We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life. This is one who is life itself, whose life itself was revealed to us, and we have seen him. And now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father, and then he was revealed to us. We proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that you may fully share our joy. Isn't that amazing? That's where the church was birthed. The guys that were with Jesus saying, guys, we saw this with our own eyes. We had fellowship with Jesus. We walked with him, we talked with him, and we saw all these things. We were eyewitnesses. And we want you to share in this joy. We want you to become a part of this family. We want you to experience the same things that we have experienced. We want you to see and experience and have the fullness of what we experience. We want you to fully share in our joy. Verse 5 there, this is the message word from Jesus, and now I declare to you, God is light and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. I just want to read the last bit again. If we were living in the light as God is, this thought before, if we're living in darkness, deceiving ourselves, but if we're living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. You see that powerful dynamic that the cleansing of the blood of Jesus happens when we are walking in the light, when we are not walking in darkness. We're walking in transparency and openness. And the word there for fellowship is koinonia. It speaks of the word means partnership or to share together, that community and that fellowship it speaks of. And it speaks of the openness and the transparency and accountability. And you know how it works, guys. We do the whole Facebook thing and we share lots of stuff and we normally share all the good stuff, right? I don't know. Have you seen those things where they joke about the Facebook thing and they, or the Twitter or Instagram, and they show the photo on Instagram and then they show the reality? Have you seen some of those? They're very funny. But we joke about that. But you know, you don't take a picture of yourself when you've just, you know, had the worst day of your life and you had a car accident and your face is bruised, you know, and maybe some of the guys do that. But, normally we just do the stuff that looks amazing and everything else. How many have taken a photo of your busy desk on a Monday morning? Anyway, so, and we tend to put up walls, we tend to put up defenses, you know. So often it's out of a place of hurt or out of a place of pain or rejection. But we tend to put walls up. And what John is writing about here is saying, guys, for the blood of Jesus to really have that effect in our lives, for the power of sin to be broken in a practical way day to day, we need to bring those walls down and walk in the light. Amen. We need to get rid of the facades. We need to get rid of the stuff we put up as we isolate ourselves or protect ourselves and walk in the light as God is in the light. And that's where the power of the cross begins. Now, guys, I've seen this in my own life. I remember, you know, struggling with stuff, wrestling through some things. And it was only when I was able to, I still remember walking with my accountability partner. This is probably, sure, 12 years ago or something, 15 years ago. I still remember walking with him and just unpacking, and I felt like a complete idiot because of the stuff I'd been wrestling with. And I just felt the deliverance that was happening as I was just walking in the light. Being vulnerable and saying, this is what's been happening, this is what I've been wrestling with. And being able to pray with him and being able to trust God together and being able to walk around and see God's deliverance, see God's healing. But before that, the power of that sin and the power of that struggle was so, it was in darkness, right? Nobody else knew, right? And I was bound. Because that's where the power of sin is. It's in his secrecy. That's where the power of that bondage is. Is when it's just you and the devil that know about this. Obviously God knows. But in that moment, we don't think like that. We are ashamed and there's guilt and shame and condemnation. And that's when we are bound. But God wants us to walk in the light. And I remember that weight coming off me. Obviously, there was a process after that, but I can testify that when we walk in the light, when we are transparent, when we are vulnerable to others, then there's just the power of it, of sin that is broken in a new dimension. Amen. So the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin as we walk in the light. Let's look at Galatians chapter 6. Verse 1, dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you are godly, should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. This is good advice, guys. This is really good. I've seen this happen. Be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. If you think you are too, I love the the New Living Translation. If you think you are too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourself. You're not that important. But guys, we live like this. We don't want to deal with other people's issues. Nobody got time for that. Eh? We are so consumed with our own stuff. Even when somebody does share, or if somebody does get vulnerable, we get awkward and we're just often just want to ignore the thing. Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. And guys, I've been, just as I was wrestling with this afternoon, I just felt the Lord laying on my heart that the whole thing that this thing hinges on is the dynamic of us being in Christ. You know, I remember when we were in the Defense Force and I was in the Air Force, and maybe some will relate in sports teams. There's a camaraderie that is shaped between people when you suffer through things together, right? There's an incredible bond that is formed. There's a really amazing things that can happen in a group of people when you suffer through things and you work through stuff together and you have victories together and you have defeats together. And I remember, you know, basic training and stuff, you bleed together and you sweat together. And when you look again, you've got a whole bunch of strangers that are brothers. But I want to say to you that although that's blessed and amazing, I've experienced in the body of Christ something way beyond that because of the unity of the Spirit. I've encountered brothers or sisters from the other side of the world, across race and cultural boundaries, people that I've never seen before, people that I can't understand their language, but there's an incredible bond, there's incredible brotherhood and a family feel immediately because of the unity of the Spirit. Because of something that we have the same Spirit. And that, guys, is not something that you and I can manufacture. But it's so powerful, that dynamic, when you and I acknowledge and encourage and enjoy and deliberately invest into those relationships because of the Holy Spirit that's in us. And the reason why we are able to have this kind of fellowship is because we have Christ in us, the hope of glory, and the same Spirit in us. That's what makes all the difference. And the reason why we are able to walk in the light, the reason why we are able to be vulnerable to one another, the reason why we are able to share this kind of koinonia, this kind of community, is because of Christ, because of His example, because He's come and laid down His life, because He's come and He's illustrated, He's demonstrated with His, how He interacted with the disciples. Even when they ran away, even when they deserted Him, how He restored them and how He forgave them, and how even on the cross He said, "Lord, forgive them here because they don't know what they're doing." He came to illustrate, right? Because guys, in community, there's a vulnerability and there's a potential to be hurt. Let's just be real about that. There's no perfect church because there's people in every church, well, hopefully. So, what did Stephen Lucas say the other day? If you move churches, or I can't remember who said it, if you go to another church, then the moment you join that church won't be perfect anymore, right? Any case, but so we have the problem of people. So yes, there is a potential to be hurt. There is a potential to be offended and to that iron sharpens iron dynamic. That uncomfortable reality of the weakness of myself and others around me. But because of Christ in me, the hope of glory, because of His victory and because of His example, and because of He empowers us by His Spirit. Word says, Romans 5:5, that the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we are able to have that love and that community. So look out for others' burdens, share each other's burdens. So the question is, how can I be there for somebody else? How can I serve someone? How can I look out for somebody else's burdens? And as a young believer, I remember people that went out of their way to reach out to me. I remember moments where people included me. I remember moments where people asked me, "How's it going?" I remember moments where stuff was difficult and people surrounded me. Guys, that stuff shaped me and drew me to Christ. So the question is, how can I be that for somebody else? And even maybe if you're sitting here and say, "I haven't had that experience," I want to say to you, by the power of Christ, we are able to so in that same way. Amen. So but the other side of the coin is, what is it that I have need of? And do I have the liberty to share that? What is it that I need? Do I need support? Do I need prayer? Do I need to be accountable? And have I got the liberty to say to somebody, "Listen, guys, I need your support. I need your prayer. I need you to hold me accountable. I need you to ask me about this thing. Or I need you to stand with me on faith because I'm weak. Maybe I'm trusting for a family member, but I've been praying so long that I don't know if I want to almost feel like I want to give up. Come on, don't you want to pray with me?" Do we have the liberty to do that? I believe that if we humble ourselves, we receive God's grace and His provision for every moment. Amen. Okay. And guys, I just want to encourage you, if there's somebody that's going through a crisis and somebody that needs your support. I remember when I was just in the ministry. And it's funny because there's a lot of stuff in ministry, especially around pastoral ministry, that you can hear the theory, but the practice is different. So that first time, somebody phoned me at 2:30 in the morning, and this was a couple, newly married, and they were, it was rough. Okay, it was rough. It was a rough situation, and they phoned me like literally 2:30 or 3 o'clock, and I didn't have children then, so it was unusual for me to be awake at that time of the night, and now it's not so unusual. But I remember driving there, and I was like, what am I on earth am I going to tell these people now? They're having this big chaos in their house and stuff. But I just learned that a big percentage of what God wants to do is you pitching up there. Just being there. Even if you don't know what to say, even if somebody is grieving about something or wrestling through something and you don't have a clue what to say to them, don't not go there. Amen? Because that's what we do. We just, listen, I don't have a clue how to support this guy, so I'm just going to leave him. Just go there. Just be there. Offer prayer, offer support, offer whatever help, even if you don't know what to say. Amen? So that evening, I just rebuked some demons, and then we saw that they rest out in the morning. Amen. So anyway, yeah. Okay, let's continue. Let's look at James chapter 1, 19. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. This goes to the heart of how we relate to one another. We deal with this in marriage prep as well. Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. It just slots in there with that walking in the light, walking in the darkness, deceiving yourself, now walking in the light. So, reading the word and not just letting it go in the one side and go out the other side, but really reading it to apply it. And guys, this is one I want to encourage people, even at Bible school. There's always this thing of, this is amazing, this is such a cool scripture, or there's this great revelation, or we quote something, or we put it on social media. But if you and I have that moment where something jumps out at us, or we have that moment of conviction or that moment of revelation, I want to really encourage you to get into the habit of writing it down and then saying, Lord, what must change in my life because of this scripture? If it's not obvious to you immediately, ask the Holy Spirit. Lord, I know this is for me. I know this is kind of speaking to me. What has to change in the way that I live because of your word for me today? Amen? Okay. Right, so I want us to, we're going to have communion in a few minutes, and then we're going to take some time just to trust Holy Spirit to minister to us. But I'm just going to read from Philippians chapter 2, which is not on there. Philippians, if you have a Bible, you can turn there. Philippians 2. If you don't have a Bible, sit next to a Christian and just read with them. Is that a grappy? There's a guy that at the Sternenwald Church years ago used to say that when he did the offering. He said, if you don't have a Bible, just sit next to a Christian. Anyway, so let's read from Philippians chapter 2. As you can see, I'm also reading on my phone. 4, from verse 4. Actually, let's read from Psalm 1. Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition
or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. So then he takes it a couple of steps further. Let me just explain this. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He wants us to imitate Christ. Who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. This is what he wants us to be like. Even being obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So he says here, Paul writes, he says, guys, I want you to look out for each other's interests. And he says, the way we do this is by following Christ's example. By saying, guys, and remember 2 weeks ago we spoke about Ephesians 5:21, which is about submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. And we say, listen, I want to put your deal ahead of my deal. I want to put your challenge ahead of my challenge. I want to put what you're wrestling through is more important than what I'm wrestling through. And that's, guys, is completely contrary to what the world says, right? The world says, fight for your rights. You must make sure, you know, you must do your thing. If you don't help yourself, if you don't fight for yourself, nobody else will. But God says, no, I want you to put your own deal second. I want you to submit to one another in reverence and fear of Christ. Reverence of Christ. So the whole point, if you remember 2 weeks ago, we spoke about, we don't do this because somebody else deserves it. We don't trust somebody else and walk in humility. We don't have accountability. We don't have this kind of community because anybody deserves it. We do it out of reverence for Christ, out of gratitude for what he has done in our lives. And I found in my life, the more I trust God to become like Christ, the more I find myself loving people. Amen? The more I ask God, Lord, make me like Jesus, the more I find myself, my heart breaking for people. And that empowers me by the love of God that is in my heart by the Holy Spirit to love others even when it costs me something. Amen. Let's stand this evening. If we can have the communion, please. We can just have that last slide of the PowerPoint briefly. We've been looking at these different angles at this whole community thing. And I want to really encourage us, as we just read from James, that we would not just be blessed by what we've heard, but really be doers of the word. Okay? So in terms of shared prayer, has that been happening in your life? Is that something that you thought, wow, this sounds nice, and then you've gone on with your life? Or have you been convicted of the point of saying, listen, I really feel this is something God is laying on my heart. I want to get together with some guys. I want us to pray. Either if it means starting at work, saying, finding one another believer and saying, let's pray before work. Even if it means before you do your workout with your buddies, just to take 3 minutes or 5 minutes or 10 minutes to say, look, guys, can we just pray for one another? But are we building community by praying together? Shared beliefs, we looked at that. Do we create space for us to dig into the Word together? Thanks so much. Is it a priority for us to
to find opportunities to us to dig into the Word. And guys, stuff like WhatsApp is really amazing because you can have discussions and you can have, you know, you can share your revelations, and even if you can't see each other every day, there's great opportunities there. Shared purpose. Am I being accountable in terms of what I feel God is talking to me about? Am I inviting others to be a part of what the dreams that God has laid on my heart or the burdens that I feel in my heart? Eating together, sharing meals. Guys, this shouldn't be a difficult one. It's warm now. We can do braais every evening, right? Am I going out of my way to make coffee or have a coffee with a colleague or have a lunch with a classmate? That power of that fellowship around sharing meals and eating together. And as we mentioned this evening, how can I be a blessing to somebody? How can I make myself vulnerable, but how can I look out for somebody else? How can I be that blessing and that support to somebody else? And do I have a liberty, do I have a freedom to ask for help? I was so blessed the other day. Somebody phoned me and they said, they just realized they've been wrestling through this thing. The lady, her daughters, who's also in church, the baby was taken up to the hospital. And they, as a family, were kind of just rallying around them and just sorting it out. And then she said she realized, no, she must let me know. And we must just kind of at least ask for prayer. And I said to her, I'm so, so glad. Because you know what's the worst thing for a pastor? Is to hear when you've come out of hospital. I'm like, what on earth were you thinking? Or to hear, oh no, this guy was in hospital for 3 weeks. And then, and like, and I was so glad. I said, I'm so happy. Because now we can support you, we can love you. And even if I can't go myself, I can at least let the small group know. Like, you know, we can pray and we can trust God together and we can see His provision. Amen. Are we willing to make ourselves vulnerable and to ask when we need help? Amen. It's going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11:23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, He broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we can. Lord, we look at the cross and we look at the sacrifice that you have made, Lord. We look at your love that is demonstrated as you sent your Son to the cross. And this evening again, we are in awe, Lord. We can't fathom. We struggle to get our heads or our hearts around it, Lord, but we know that you love us, Lord. And this evening we are grateful, Lord. We are so thankful that you have chosen to first love us. And you've sent your Son. Even when we were enemies with you, Lord, you demonstrated your love for each soul by having Christ die for us. Thank you, Lord, even as we take this bread and this juice as a symbol, Lord, we do this in remembrance of you, in remembrance of the cross. We proclaim your death and your resurrection. In Jesus' name, Lord, and as we take this bread, we thank you for the provision that is in the body of Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you've made provision by the broken body of Jesus Christ for every single thing that we face you have made provision for every sickness, for every disease, for every challenge, for every need, whether it be physical or spiritual, emotional or relational, whatever it is. We thank you, Jesus, that your body was broken so that we can have fullness of life. And right now, in the name of Jesus, we receive that provision, God. Even now, in this place, we receive healing by the stripes of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We receive that. And we bless your name as we eat together in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you that the blood speaks of life. It speaks of forgiveness of sins. It speaks of a clean slate. Lord, we thank you that you remove our sin from us as far as the east is from the west. Thank you that the word says that, Christ, you became a curse for us. You even had every curse laid upon you, Lord, so that we can be free, so that we can have a fresh start, so that we can know you, Lord. Thank you for the new and living way that you've made for us to have a relationship with the Father. There's no more doubt. There's no more fear. No more condemnation. No more shame and guilt, Lord, that you said, I've washed you clean. Thank you, Lord, that you not only died, but you rose from the dead, that you overcame sin and death. We thank you for the resurrection power of Christ that rests upon us. Lord, and right now, as we take this juice as a symbol of your blood, we proclaim the victory of the cross, not only over our own lives, Lord, but over this body, over this church family, and over our city, over our nation. We proclaim the victory of the cross in Jesus' name. Let's drink together. Our Father, we declare over our lives, over us as a church family, over the city, we proclaim that the cross is sufficient for you. The blood of Jesus is sufficient for you. Right now, I speak into every heart, and our Holy Spirit speak into every heart that whatever you are facing, whatever challenge, whatever impossibility, I declare that the blood and the broken body is sufficient for you. And the victory of the cross is sufficient for your situation. That we serve a God of the impossible. And he says, with me, everything is possible. Nothing is impossible. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, I feel right now, as every eye is closed, I feel that there's some here that have been wrestling through something. Some are in despair. Some are ready to give up on something they've been trusting for. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that you impart hope in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that yes, even when some are now experiencing darkness, and some are experiencing depression and heaviness, I thank you, Lord, that by the stripes of Jesus and by the blood of Christ, you have brought us free from heaviness. Thank you that your love drives out every fear in the name of Jesus. As every eye is closed here this evening, if you're standing here and you know that you are not right with Christ, you know that right now, maybe you have had relationship to a certain extent with him in the past, or maybe you have been in church in the past, but right now you know where you're not right with him. Right now you know that something is amiss, you are far from God, and right now you are convicted that you need to make a change. I believe this evening the Father is waiting with you with open arms. He's saying, my son, my daughter, I want you to come to me. He's extending the invitation, saying, I've given my son, I've paid the price for you to be free from sin. I've paid the price for you to have eternal life. He does not guarantee us everything will be fine. He doesn't guarantee us an easy life, but he says, I've bought for you eternal life. And if that's you this evening, as every eye's closed, and you know this evening you want to make a change, you want to make right with God, you want to come back to Him, where you're standing, won't you raise your hand for a moment? I'd love to pray with you. Thank you. Is there anybody else? If you've raised your hand, you can lower it. Is there anybody else? I want us to just take a moment to pray together and just bring our hearts before God. If you know you want to raise your hand, and if you haven't, I want you just to pray together. I want us all to pray together and just bring our hearts before God. But specifically, if the Lord has been speaking to you and you know you might want to make right with Him, make sure that you pray with us this evening. I want to lead us in a prayer. Lord Jesus. Let's try again. Lord Jesus, thank you for your love for me. I confess that I am a sinner and I need a Savior. I cannot save myself. I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and my Lord and my Savior. I believe that God has raised Him from the dead. And I thank you, Lord, that even today, you are my Father, and I can hear your voice. Thank you that you will never leave me nor forsake me. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your presence in my life. Thank you for your peace in my life. Right now, Lord, I receive your peace in my thoughts, in my heart, in my mind, in every part of me. Holy Spirit, fill me, Lord, to overflowing. Thank you that I'm your child, and that I can have an absolute assurance that I have eternal life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. We're going to take some time to pray for people. And actually, I want us to just close with just this worship. Can we do a song? Have we got a song? And as we're worshiping, I want to really encourage you that we're going to trust God. If there's anybody that has a word in their heart or feels God wants to minister to somebody, we're going to invite them to come and just take and share that word. And if God speaks to you and you feel God is wanting to minister to you, I want to really ask you to take boldness to come to the front. And specifically, as we're worshiping, if you know today, if you raised your hand earlier, and or if you didn't raise your hand, but you know you need to make a change, I want you please to come forward, even as we worship, that we can pray with you. Amen. So bring your belongings with you and come to the front, and somebody's going to pray with you. And then specifically, I felt also there's some people here this evening that have made themselves vulnerable, and they have been trying to walk in the light and trying to be accountable, but you've got hurt. Maybe somebody, there was a breach of trust. Maybe somebody disappointed you, or you were hurt in some way. And I just feel there's a grace this evening just to say, Lord, I realize I'm carrying this, maybe a little bit of bitterness, maybe this hurt, or maybe I have forgiven, but I'm so struggling to trust. I really feel God wants to just bring healing this evening. Amen. So I want to really encourage you, even as we start to worship now, just to come to the front. We want to pray with you.
Good evening, church. So, Anae just asked me to deliver a word for her. She's just busy with the little one. It was actually just tied into exactly what Jackie said. She said she just felt that there's people here that have been hurt, and have kind of got, I don't want to say resentment, but I've got pain towards God for the fact that how can he allow it? How can he allow me to go through so much pain if he's a good God? And she said that she just saw a vision of the person standing and in front of him or her was just a desert. There was just nothing. And they're just saying, God, but where are you? And she just said that God was standing right behind the person. And it's just a matter of turning around and facing God because he's always there and he's always faithful. And even though it hurts sometimes for us, we don't understand what's going on, it doesn't change the character of God. We need to change our position. And I just really feel that there's more than one person sitting here that's going through that. And that's why I think it's on Yaku's heart as well. And then just a couple of things that God laid on my heart. One, I just feel that there's people struggling with nightmares again. I don't think it's a just a coincidence thing. I do think it's a thing that we need to break over your life. So one, so please come forward. The second thing is that there's, I specifically think there's a, it's a lady, and she doesn't want to join community because of something that she's done in her past. And I want to say that that sin God can break, but that sin is causing slavery. And God wants to set you free. He doesn't want to focus on the sin. He wants to focus on the fact that it's holding you captive. And he wants to release that tonight so that you can step into community with boldness and without guilt and without shame. Because God's not in the business of shaming people. He's in the business of setting people free. And lastly, I just feel that, like it's been in my heart for a while now, but I specifically feel it's for tonight, that some of us are wrestling with things with God, and what's happened is pride is starting to creep in. And every Sunday you come in and God speaks to you and you leave without coming forward and without dealing with the things that God is doing in your heart. And you're saying, God, why am I burning out? God, why am I struggling to pursue you? God, why am I struggling to engage with your presence? It's because he's speaking to you and you refuse to come before him and acknowledge what he's doing in your heart. And tonight we're going to come forward and we're going to repent of that, number one. And number two, we're going to ask God to fix those things that's been challenging in our hearts tonight. And so I want to encourage you, come tonight. It's not about coming to the front and letting people see that you're being prayed for. It's not about that. It's between you and God. And yes, we're going to agree with you, but it's not about that. And so please come forward, guys. Let's engage with this stuff. I don't want people to walk away in bondage again. It breaks my heart knowing that people leave here every Sunday evening with bondage when Jesus wants to set us free. And that's your decision to come up. I don't care if you're a district leader. I don't care if it's Yaku. We need to lay down that pride and come forward and say, God, I know that you're working in my life.
Amen. Thanks, Josh. As the Lord says, he gives grace to the humble. Amen. He opposes the proud. I want to really just echo that. So let's just do that right now. If God has spoken to you, and if you raised your hand earlier, if you wanted to, please just come to the front and receive God's grace for your situation. Amen. We'll just give you a few moments before we start to worship. Also, specifically, if you have any other prayer needs, maybe that wasn't mentioned now, I know that God has made a way. He's made a way for you. I mean, thanks so much for the testimony that was shared earlier. No. Thanks so much, God. No, so just take boldness. God has spoken to you. If you need somebody to pray with you, thanks so much. Those that raised their hands earlier, I want to really encourage you to respond as God is speaking with you. Amen. Thank you. Okay, great. As we were going to worship, if you feel you have a word in your heart, or if you feel you need prayer for something, just please join us in the front as God is going to minister. Amen. I'm going to just pray briefly, and if you need to rush, you're welcome to go. But if you just respect what God is doing, and if you feel you need somebody to pray with you, I want to just encourage you to disagree with Josh, just to join us in the front. I mean, thank you, Lord, for your presence here. Thank you, Lord, that you are not the author of confusion, Lord, and you're not, as your word says, that in Christ there's no more condemnation, Lord. Thank you that your love covers a multitude of sin, Lord, and even to this evening, thank you, Lord, for a boldness to draw near to the throne of grace, to receive grace, Lord, to draw near to you, knowing that you accept us just as we are, knowing that you have made provision for us just as we are. And right now, I thank you that you're waiting with open arms to receive us as we humble ourselves. Thank you that you love us enough to receive us just like that, and you love us enough to take us from that point and to redeem us and to heal us and to restore us and to deliver us in Jesus' name. So we bless your name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's worship together. If you need to be to the front, come to the front. If you raise your hand, please come to the front and have somebody pray with you. Amen. It's just one scripture.
Scripture that the Lord is laying on my heart is Psalm 34. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Fear the Lord, you His saints, for those who fear Him lack nothing. The lions may grow weary and hungry, but those who seek the Lord will lack no good thing. Feel there's some people here tonight that I just pray that you open your heart and allow the Lord to minister to you, because he wants you to just come to Him and He will do the rest.
Amen. If that word is for you, please also come to the front. We'd love to pray with you. Okay, this is the testimony. Maybe still.
Hi, guys. I just want to deal with you a while back. I hurt my shoulder, and it was the week before I had a competition, a sporting event. And I tried all the pills and all the creams and all the things I could think about. And then during that week, obviously, I also prayed about it. And then the Holy Spirit just really pressed on my heart, like, what am I trusting in? Am I trusting in the medication to work? Or am I trusting God for healing? And I just left all the pills and everything and prayed about it. And that weekend, my shoulder was absolutely fine. I didn't feel it one bit. And God heals. And I really feel there's people here trusting God for physical healing as well as emotional healing, healing your heart, previous hurt, that God is good. He will heal you. He can heal you, and He will heal you. So if you're trusting God for healing, please come to the front so we can pray with you.
Amen. If it's you and you need prayer for healing, please be bold and join us in the front. Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and His glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363, email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.